Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Romans chapter 4. Now, Romans chapter 4 here is where we're going to go, but I want to just review here just for a minute. I've been preaching a message called Fully Convinced. And I just have told y'all, everybody out there listening by radio and television, that I really believe right now in December is the time that you need to relax. You need to enjoy. You need to stop and take a breath. You need to enjoy your family. You need to enjoy Christmas. You need to enjoy the celebration of our Savior's birth. We need to just relax. You need to have some, just catch your breath. Because I believe in 2013, I believe it's going to be a fight. I believe every day is going to be a fight to keep standing strong as a Christian. Hello? Are y'all with me? So everybody knows you rest a little bit before, you go into the battle. And I had to laugh. They interviewed one of the cowboys out there at the rodeo, and he was a bronc rider, and he came in and they interviewed him. He said, "Well, how are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm not really in the best of shape coming into the finals." He said, "I've got the flu and I dislocated my shoulder, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good." I thought, "My Lord, I just stayed home with just the flu." And so, he was fully convinced. He was there for a reason. He was there for a purpose, and nothing was going to stop him. Nothing was going to deter him. Nothing was going to derail him in life. I feel the same way about us as Christians. The world right now wants to come in a sense, put us, say, "Hush, hush, y'all get over there in the corner, be quiet. You make everybody nervous talking about Jesus." At the end of the finals, I wasn't there, but I watched it on television. Actually, this morning, I had it recorded, and I was watching it all around Cowboy the World, Trevor Brazil. chokes me up thinking about it. Steps up to the platform representing, the cowboys of the world and says, "First thing I want to do is thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ," As stands erupt, Folks, I'm telling you, there's people out there that love Jesus. You with me? There's people out there that love Jesus. People that think with the same heart and conviction that you do. No matter what you see on television, no matter what you listen to on the radio, no matter what's going on in the world and what you see and how bleak and how bad it is, listen to me, there's God-loving, God-fearing people out there that think like you and I. And we need to be a people at this time that rises up and say, "Listen to me, we've put up with your nonsense long enough. We're not gonna listen to this mess anymore. We're right, you're wrong. That's foolishness, what you're thinking, and Jesus is the answer. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. We're proud to be a Christian. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to wave the flag. We are going to cling to our Bibles and probably our guns. But we love God, and we love Jesus. He's everything to us, and that's where our life and our center of our focus is. Amen." But we got to be fully convinced. You can't be talked out of it. And if you're in a place in life that that there's anything in your life that you believe as a Christian that you can be talked out of, well, then you're not fully convinced. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, talks about Abraham, and it says Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Now, I don't always understand everything. I don't understand God's timing. I don't understand why things work a certain way, but it's kind of funny because as I've served the Lord for the last 28 years of my life and I look back at things that I thought God should have done and then it didn't work that way. And then now that I look back on it, I was like, "Oh, I see. If that would have happened, then this would have been there and then that would have done this and, I'd have been in trouble." Y'all with me? So I don't understand the timing of God, but I am fully convinced that what he's promised he's able to perform. I'm fully convinced that when I pray, God hears my prayers. I'm fully convinced that when I get up in the morning that God is with me because he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm fully convinced that Jesus is the answer to life. I'm fully convinced that when someone comes to me and says something and says, "Well, so-and-so, he's hooked on drugs or this and that and the other, or this has happened or that's happened," I'm fully convinced that I can look them square in the face and say, you need Jesus. Because I'm fully convinced he is the answer. He's the way. He's the solution to everything. No matter what it is, folks. Somebody says, oh, well, I know about religion. I know about Jesus. No, no, no. If you've got that much problems in your life, you need to have a deeper relationship with him. Amen? Things are happening, folks. I'm telling you, good things are happening. I heard a person speak yesterday and told a story that I was actually a little blown away by. I've known this person a long time. And they gave up and gave a testimony that their heart stopped and they died and died for a minute. And when they died, they went to heaven. They saw heaven. Saw it all. Heard the Lord speak to him, say, it's not your time. You got to go back. And this person was speaking. You could look in his eyes and see, this guy is fully convinced. He said, I'm here to tell you today. I saw it. I know it's real. I know. I've been there. I've seen it, you know. He was more convinced than he probably was before he died. You know, dying and going to heaven and coming back has a way to change your life. But the point I'm trying to get across is that because of his experience, he was fully convinced. He could stand up there and just say, man, I know. I've seen it. Folks, that's the way we have to be in our walk in our Christianity. For too long, we've been back and forth with, well, this is what my denomination believes, and this is what my denomination believes, and this is what my denomination. Man, we need to know what the Bible says. And we need to be fully convinced that what the Bible says, it's true. Hello? And we're not going to be talked out of any of it. I don't have an answer for everything, except to point everybody towards Jesus. Are y'all with me? So this is where I've been going with this. This is what I've been talking about. And I talked about getting your heart twisted and getting off track and this and that and the other. But I want to go to a story today. In the Old Testament, you can turn there to Daniel chapter 3. I got over in the book of Daniel and got to reading and got to getting stirred up. Daniel's a great book in the Old Testament. If you ever, people say, oh, well, you know, I don't like to read the Old Testament. Man, go read Daniel. Get out of Leviticus and go read Daniel. You know, go read Ezekiel. That dude was tough. I mean, he was tough. Isaiah, man, he was tough. And y'all forgive me. I'm kind of stopped up and choked up this morning. But I'm not going to let that. I'm fully convinced that I could preach today. May not sound real good, but I'm going to get it out. In Daniel chapter 3, there's a story here, that, and you're probably familiar with it. You could probably quote it. You probably have heard it all your life. But I'm telling you, you got to go back and read these stories. Has any of y'all ever had a discouraging day? Has anybody in there ever been discouraged? Ever had some opposition? Ever had some trials? Ever had, thinking about why, oh God, how are you going to get me out of this? I remember one day my wife and I, years ago, I just started as the associate pastor of the church here, and we were struggling financially. And I'd make just about as much money at the end of the week to keep everybody fed and clothed, and there was nothing left over, nothing extra. And our well went out. And I remember at that point, it was the most discouraging day of my life. It was like something so large in front of me that I could not see how I could get at the money to do it because I was already working every day as hard as I could, and I didn't see how. And I remember just going and being so discouraged and praying and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. But I'm not going to call somebody to fix it because I don't have the funds to pay it, and you got to make something work out. And just earnestly pouring my heart out to Jesus. And about that time, the phone rings. God says, yeah, listen, I've got too many hunters on the place today. And would you possibly be interested in just guiding a hunter? I said, sure. Was it pay? First question I asked him, was it pay? And he says, well, you know, I'll give you X number of dollars and then whatever you get in a tip. I said, okay. That's a door. That's a crack in the door. So I remember going and doing it. Hunted the guy. He paid me the money. Gave me a tip, told me how much he enjoyed being there with me. And when I called the company, got the pump fixed, it was exactly the amount of money I had in my hand. And I remember just little things like that, building my faith of our life, of just being at that point, and then now saying, well, look, you provided for that, God. You provided exactly for that. Of course, I was worried. I was in trouble. I was dismayed. I was under fire of just feeling like, oh, my God, how are we going to get this done? And it'd be real interesting if we would just learn to live our lives really trusting Jesus. Come on. But we're still in those phases. Until we get that fully convinced part of us, we've got to go through those steps. Y'all with me? So we've got to have courage under fire. The enemy's going to be throwing stuff at you. You got to understand something. Your life is about the devil trying to keep you from serving Jesus. You might as well just figure it out. That's what it is. Every day you got a bullseye on your head or your back. The devil wants you to trip. He wants you to fall. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He wants you to get offended with people. He wants you to get financially in financial straits where you can't look up. He wants you to get so focused upon your life and the problems of your life that you can't see Jesus in the middle of you. You say, well, you know, but I'm busy and have a busy. No, no, no. That's irrelevant. That's what you do. That's not who you are. You with me? And the enemy wants to use everything he can against you to get you off center, off focus, and not having Jesus in the middle of your life. Well, Daniel was a young man, and if you know the story, Daniel and three of his friends were Israelite young men. And when Israel fell under the king of Babylon at that day, Nebuchadnezzar, they were carried off to Babylon, where we know today is modern Iraq. They were carried off over there, and they were brought in. And if you know the first part of the story of it, you know their ways, the Babylonian ways and the Jewish ways were completely different. The food they ate and everything that went on. And you can read in the first part of Daniel how Daniel parlayed with the head guy and said, "Look, I can take care of myself better than you can take care of me. And you let me do it. You let me do it my way, and it'll all work out." And so Daniel prospered. You know the story, and we talked about that last week. But we come to a point where you know. Sometimes in your life, things have been going smooth. Things have been going in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, man, something goes, I mean, it's just like the wheel flew off. You ever been driving down the road and your tire fall off? It's an amazing sight, to say the least. You know, everything just at one time. And sometimes in life we can think that we're just going along and our relationship with Jesus is just right, everything's right, we're right on top of a game, and all of a sudden, pshoo, everything goes crazy. Well, at those moments, at those seconds of our lives, that's when we have to have Jesus to grab hold of. That's when we got to be fully convinced down on the inside of our heart, because it's that time that we have to have courage under the fire that the enemy's sending at us to be able to stand up and to bravely look at the situation and say, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to get out of this, but I just thank you, you're with me. Jesus, if you're with me, I can go through anything. Jesus, if you're with me, it'll all be okay." And be fully convinced. Not a hope and a prayer. You know. Of course, I got lots of cowboy examples and today. But it's funny because you may have heard this term before, a hooey and a prayer. You know, and a hooey is when they tie the calf, the knot, and put it in, it's called a hooey. And, calf has to stay tied for 6 seconds. And so cowboy has to get back to his horse, get on his horse, let the slack go up on the rope. And then you'll see a cowboy take his hat off or do something. And he's praying that calf don't get up. So you throw a hooey in a prayer. Well, we're not throwing hooeys in prayers. You're with me. We need to be people at this day and time that are fully convinced. We know what we're talking about. We know what the answer is. When somebody has a problem, here's your answer. It's Jesus. So, Daniel was like that. Now, let's just look here into the book of Daniel, chapter 3. So, it starts out that Nebuchadnezzar, he forgets about what Daniel has done. And see, sometimes in our lives, we get like that. God bails us out. We had some miracles. Some things happen. Some things get good. And then we get into the period of coasting. And because everything's all right. So we're coasting. So we coast in our prayers. We coast in our Bible reading. We coast in our devotion. We just start kind of coasting. And then all of a sudden, boom, wheel flies off. All of a sudden, something's up. Well, see, now we're behind. Now we're behind our game. All right? We can't get like that, because when you get behind your game, then you know what you have to do? You have to catch up to where you were to move forward. And what I'm saying is that we need to be right now, just chill out, enjoy yourself. First of the year, you need to be on your game. You don't need to be behind. A cowboy that gets behind on a bucking horse gets slapped to the ground. Are y'all with me? The horse is bucking. Everything's going. The cowboy's feet are in time. And then all of a sudden, he starts to get a little bit behind, and it starts to get just a little out of sync. And the next thing you know, the rear end of that horse is going to slap that cowboy right in the back of the head and catapult him forward, and he's out of the saddle. We can't do that. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. You're in a rodeo, no matter if you know that or not. You are in a rodeo till we get to heaven. We cross those pearly gates on the other side. You know, I don't know exactly how everything's going to work. We still may be doing some rodeoing, but right now you're in a rodeo. All right? And that bull's trying to throw you off, or that horse is trying to throw you, or that calf's trying to get away from you. I saw one of the most amazing things. And like I said, I'm full of cowboy stories, so y'all just forgive me. Excuse me. This bulldogger was chasing the steer down the arena, and he went off his horse, and he grabbed hold of the head of that steer, and at that moment, the steer trips, goes head over. But this is the national finals. You know, you just don't have the average cowboy. You got the guy that's going for the gold buckle. So this crazy fool does not turn loose of that steer. He goes with the steer over, all the way over, comes up, stands up, and throws him. It's like, I was like, how could he have held on? Most people would have turned loose. Most people would have just tried to get away from the horns. Not this crazy fool. He just hangs on, goes right over, rolls right with him, gets up, wah, throws him. Life's going to throw you some curves. Life's going to do some crazy things to you. But are you going to be fully convinced? Are you going to have courage under fire that when that steer trips on you and that life throws you a curve, that you're going to come up and then all of a sudden look at you, you're the victor. Whoosh, you throw him. Are y'all with me here? It's good preaching. I'm enjoying it. So Nebuchadnezzar, he forgot about it. He forgot about what Daniel had done, and so he made this image of gold. Got just full of himself. Made an image of gold, put a big statue out there, and said, now this is where we're going to do. He said, I tell you what, I just want everybody to worship my statue. So he, for saving time's sake for reading, you read down through this. He says, man, I want a big band. I want an orchestra. I want everybody out there. They're going to play the music, and when they play the music, everybody has to bow. Well, listen to me, the world's playing some music right now. And I'm telling you, I ain't bowing. Hello? The world's playing the music. They're starting to get tuned up. You know, they're starting to get it all tuned up. But I ain't playing the music. I'm not going to listen to it. Because what he said was everybody plays the music, and when he plays the music, then everybody bows their knee to that image. So these Jewish boys, they're not going to do it because they only bow their knee to God. They go and bow themselves three times a day and pray. And so if you read through the story, it's brought to Nebuchadnezzar's attention that these guys aren't playing by the rules. And so let's see, let's pick it up down here and verse 12, I believe. Yeah, it says, there are certain Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men the king have not paid due regard to. They do not serve your God nor worship the golden image. Then Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage. He gave a command to bring them to him. So they brought these men before the king. And he asked them, says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, if you're ready at the time when you hear the sound of all the symphony playing, all the kinds of music, you fall down, you'll worship the image which I've made. Well, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God? He says, who's the God that's going to deliver you from my hands? Listen to me, folks. We have to understand. We have to get it down within our hearts that we serve a God who can deliver us. We have to get it down into our heads and be fully convinced in that there is something bigger going on than what politicians think is going on. We have to be fully convinced and know that what heaven has promised, it's going to perform. And that heaven is real and the courts of heaven are real. You think God's sitting up on the throne and the tragedy that happened this week, somebody had to come tell him about it. He didn't know what was going on. The world's all in an uproar, but the world keeps pushing God out of every situation. And in every circumstance, they don't want God out of it because they want to go do what they want to go do. But then when something goes wrong, it ends amazing. Everybody says, well, where was God? You with me? So, it said, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you set up. Now, I've studied this and studied this over the years. Ever since I've been saved, I've been just tearing into that scripture. And some preachers preach it one way, and I really believe with all of my heart, from what I've studied and what I've learned about the Hebrew language, that what they basically said, if I could put it in South Texas vernacular, was simply this. When the king says, you're going to bow down and worship, it says, what are you talking about? We don't have to think about this. No matter what you say, we ain't doing it. And if by chance we go into the furnace and die, don't make any difference because we're going on to heaven, so you ain't winning anyway. Now, there's another way I look at this that I kind of believe it says like this. Well, let me tell you what, King. We're not going to do it. And you got a choice. See, I believe this, if they were from Texas, this is what they said to the king. They said, you got a choice, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not bowing no matter what you do. And if you change your mind and don't throw us in the fiery furnace, well, that'll be okay. But we're still not serving your God. It's kind of like Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie looking over the walls of the Alamo and asking Santa Ana if he wants to surrender. Are y'all with me? That's the way I see this story. They're looking at Nebuchadnezzar. It's not like they're questioning God if he's going to deliver them. It's like, look, you're not even going to win. First of all, we're going to heaven no matter what happens to us. Second of all, we ain't going to do what you're asking. No matter what, I win. And so that's kind of the way I see it. It was, you know, them asking Santa Ana, are you going to go ahead and surrender now? As a matter of fact, I don't think you quite got enough men out there. You want us to wait a while, let you trot some more in here? Are y'all with me? Folks, listen to me. It's an amazing thing when the enemy finds out that you're not scared of him. When the devil finds out that you're not scared of him, that, you know, you got to watch him. He is a formidable adversary. He will knock you out if you let your hands down. But when you realize that you're not scared of him, when he realizes you're not scared of him, then all of a sudden the dynamic changes over onto him. Now all of a sudden he's like, oh gosh, I really hate to go to their house today. Because he knows what you're going to do. Y'all with me? So these guys, you know, if you read through their own story here, they go through and the fiery furnace is heated 7 times hotter. It's so hot when they go throw them into the fire, it kills the guys that are throwing them in. And Nebuchadnezzar looks over there and he looks into the fire and he says, hold on a minute. What in the world's going on? He said, didn't we throw three guys in there? He said, but I see four, and they're all walking around in the fire. And the fourth one in there, he looks like the Son of God. Now, can you imagine this scene? Oh, I want to see this scene so bad. I mean, I want to see the DVD on this one so bad. Because can you imagine what that, the look on his face. When all of a sudden he's faced with, you know, this didn't work. There is a God who did deliver him. Are y'all with me? I mean, he is bound to just turn white as a ghost. And he looks in there. Now they're not coming out. It wasn't like they jumped in and then jumped back out. They're walking around in there talking to Jesus. You see, folks, sometimes we're looking at the fires of our life and we're looking at it and saying, oh my God, it's a horrible thing. Well, it's not a horrible thing if Jesus is in the middle of it with you. You're learning some stuff. Right? If Jesus is in the middle of the fire with you, well, then you know what? You're just getting stronger. You're just learning. You're just saying, Lord, you know, look at that. See, if I would have had the money and would have paid for it, well, then I wouldn't have got to see the miracle when I had to believe you for it. And then it came in and you made a miracle and I did it. Now look how much better it is. Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, that's good. So, if you read on down the story, the end of it here, after that gets done in 25, he says that. It says in 26, says, Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of Most High God, come on out here. He wasn't going in. He's got everything. Hey, come on out of here, guys. And then look what happened. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angels and he delivered his servants who trust in him. They have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that no one should serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that the people and the nations and the language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made an ash heap because there is no other god that can deliver like this. So what happened and what turned out there ended up being something that it was a great victory for the whole nation. See, I'm looking for a movement that's going to affect the whole nation. I'm not looking for just a one event. I'm not looking for just something that's going to affect just us here. I'm looking for something that's going to affect the whole nation. Where people have to turn around and say, you know, my God, there is a God. And I haven't been serving him. I've been wondering, people have been kind of stirred up about, you know, what is it, the Mayan calendar says that the world's going to come to an end on the 21st? Well, what are they doing about it? What are they doing about it? I mean, if you think the world's going to come, if you really think the world's going to come to an end, what are you doing about it? Right? I mean, some pretty serious business. The whole world's going to come to an end. The world comes to an end on the 21st, I know where I'm going to be. How about you? Me sliding down the streets of gold in my socks. Y'all see some crazy cowboy just sliding down the streets of gold just in my socks. He's going to, you know it's me. Of course, I'm going to be a lot bigger, slimmer. You'll have to take a double take and say, is that really Pastor Rob? 9 foot tall and bulletproof. All right. So you would think this would be enough. But then as time goes on, and let me just go a little bit further here. No, okay, I need to back up. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, let's look at another scripture, Isaiah 43:1. Let me show you this about these guys. You think that maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just came by this knowledge, just like they just got up one morning and decided that, you know, yeah, this is what we believe. No. You got to understand, if you read the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, Jeremiah, they're putting those in those positions in the Bible because Isaiah was or Jeremiah was alive in the days that Isaiah was prophesying. So it's like, you know, like right now we have Billy Graham. He's still alive. And some of y'all may have heard Billy Graham when you were a child. And then, you know, you maybe could have watched his last message that he preached. And then he's got Franklin Graham, right? And so you see a succession going on. So it starts to span. So like you may have a child that never listened to Billy Graham, but he listened to Franklin Graham. But Franklin Graham listened to Billy Graham. Y'all with me? So it's like Isaiah was there and Jeremiah was listening to him. And then there was Ezekiel listening to him. And then Daniel, these young boys that were trained up from the teachings of those men. So Isaiah 43 says, verse 1, Isaiah 43:1 says, "Now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and now thus says the Lord who created you, and he formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." They heard that word. I mean, I don't know how it all worked, at, you know, in the rabbinical schools and stuff like that, but let me turn it into our vernacular. They heard somebody preach a message on that, walking through the fire. And they became fully convinced because they heard what the word said, they heard what the preacher said, they heard what God had said. They were fully convinced at that time. So when there's a burning fiery furnace, it's like Isaiah 43. Yeah. I mean, we put chapters and verses. Give me that one, okay? But it's like, they look at the fiery furnace, it's roaring, and they're like, this is no biggie. Remember Isaiah 43? They're like, oh yeah, Isaiah 43 says, yeah, we walk through the fire, we're not going to be burned. It's not going to scorch us. Ha! Here we go. We're fully convinced. We know what God said. Throw us into the fire. Listen to me, these boys did not live any different than you live today. They were men at this time, but you with me. They had the same words, the same scrolls, the same writings that you were reading in your Old Testament. They had them. They didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. Not all the Old Testament, but if y'all want to get legalistic on me or anything. Somebody out there watching me want to get legalistic. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? They weren't any different than you. There is not a difference other than their names being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as you. The only difference is they were fully convinced. This is the people we need to be. We need to be the people that can look into the face of adversities and say, I got a scripture somewhere on that one. Yeah, I know that's what the scripture says. Are y'all with me? Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus gives you a New Testament scripture. John 14, verses 16 through 19. He says, "I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may be abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, but I'll come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you live also." Jesus gave us full assurance. He's with us all the time. He said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you." See, we have to cross that barrier in our lives of not saying, "Well, when I see it, I'll believe it." Y'all with me? When you say, "Well, when I see it, I believe it." No, we have to be the people that know what the Word of God says, that we're walking by faith, knowing that what God said, He's going to perform. So no matter what we see with our natural eyes, it's what we see with the eyes of faith. Are y'all with me? Listen to me, God's not going to forsake us. I don't know what all's facing us in 2013, but I'm going to tell you this. Whatever it is, we can defeat it. You with me? Did you hear what I said? I don't know what's all his faces. Whatever it is, we can defeat it. You know, there's a story of Pharaoh trying to persecute the children of Israel, make slaves out of them. And he always made everything harder, but God always made everything better. And the harder he made it on them, the Bible says the more they multiplied. I'm telling you, faith is contagious if you get around a bunch of people that are in faith. I've even noticed this year that going through stores, that there's fewer people saying happy holidays and more people saying Merry Christmas. In stores, department stores, where that used to be, you know, it was a big taboo, you know, oh my gosh, you can't say Merry Christmas. And I don't know what that's stemming from, but maybe the workers are just tired of messing with it or whatever. It's not everywhere, but I just notice it. I noticed people that I spoke to in the airport, and I said, well, thank you. I said, God bless you. And they said, God bless you too. I'm telling you, listen to me. When the fire gets turned up, people start looking. When they start looking, grabbing hold of Jesus, I want to tell you something. Revival's here. How many of y'all have ever messed with those cans of spray foam? How many of you ever thought you were just going to do a simple little thing, just like the TV commercial says? Put that spray foam on, just squirt it in that little hole, and everything will be okay. I mean, that stuff is demon in a can. It is amazing to me how, before you even squirt the first batch of it out the tube, you've already got it on you. And you can't get it off. I mean, you got to scrape it off your hide with a pocket knife. I mean, you cannot get that stuff off. And it always says it's expanding foam, but it always seems to expand in the wrong place. Have y'all noticed that? I had that stuff on me everywhere the other day. And I was like, made a point, like, I wasn't going to do it. And then my mind started thinking, I need to invent about a 6-foot-long tube that you tape on a stick and maybe I could spray it from here and keep it from getting. I mean, then just throw the can and run when you're through. Don't worry about ever trying to reuse it again. Just get rid of it. Hope it doesn't find its way into your house somehow, you know? But faith is like that. When you get faith started in your life, see, it works both. Jesus said, hey, watch it, the leaven of the Pharisees, a little bit of leaven, the whole lot, but it works the other way too. You get faith going, it's like that spray foam starts opening up and just gets bigger in your own life. That's what we want to happen. We want our faith to explode. We want our faith to grow. We want it to be able to get off on everybody else and get stuck to everybody else and let them try to figure out how they're going to clean it off because they can. Hello? Do you want to be the spray foam faith people? Just get it all over everybody. Just get it everywhere. But that's not going to happen in our life unless we get that seed going, unless we start to realize what the Word says, unless we begin to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, I know what the Word says. Fiery furnace, we can do it. We've got a word on that one. Here's one, Hebrews 13:5. You know, it's a scripture. It's kind of funny because the writer of Hebrews writes this scripture in there, and it says, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake me. But Hebrews 13:5 is taken from Deuteronomy 31:1. In other words, the writer of Hebrews was quoting Deuteronomy when he said about Jesus would never leave you nor forsake you. He took the word, he applied it over from what it said in Deuteronomy, and he brought it over there. But let's read it in Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy 31. And I'm going to wrap this up. Verse 1. Deuteronomy 31:1. It's Moses speaking to Joshua. And he says, then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Now, there's a few words in there I just want you to just take note of. First is, I like God going before me. And I like dispossession. Now, I looked at that word this morning. I was thinking, is that even a word? But just think, I like the people who are trying to come against me for my God to dispossess them. In other words, they lost their possession or they lost their hold on me. You follow me? So Moses tells Joshua, it's okay. Y'all are going to go across the land, across the river. But God's already gone over there for you. And he's going to dispossess all of those your enemies. Now Joshua himself crossed over before you, just as the Lord has said. The Lord will do unto them as he did unto Shion and Og, and the kings of the Amorites in their land. And when he destroyed them, the Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Now be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. That needs to be your banner for 2013. You ought to write that on your refrigerator, your mirror. Stick it in your truck, guys. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Them. You know them? Do y'all know them? They and them. My wife asked me one time, who is it? Who was it? I said, it was them. She says, who's them? I said, you know them. Them. Them is everything that comes against you. Them and they. Are y'all with me? Y'all looking at me like I'm nuts. Whoever that is, it's they or them. Y'all with me? I don't know what form it's coming in. We can jump up and down and be worried about this and worried about that, but I'm just telling you, if them come, they're going to get in trouble. Because it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. That's where he got the quote from Hebrews 13:5. The writer of Hebrews is saying to the people of that day, Jesus is with you. Don't worry. Things are going to be okay. So I just propose that what you really need to do in life is to go do some marching around your house. It's all right. Everybody knows you're crazy anyway. You can make some declarations around your house and to the world around you and say, hey, this is... No matter what, I am of good courage. I am fully convinced. I am having courage under fire. I'm not afraid because my God is with me. Boom, shakalaka-laka. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Right? Folks, listen to me. When your spirit man hears you talking like that, you become alive. You walk around saying, oh man, it looks so terrible. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh my God, it's just how they're going to do that. I don't know. If they do this, then I guess I'm going to have to do that. And if I do that, then I'm going to do this and this. I just really say, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I tell you what comes my way. First is, I'm not bowing my knee. No matter what you say, King, I ain't bowing my knee. I know who am I believe in. I'm not compromising my faith. I'm not compromising my belief. You want to deal with me, you can deal with him. And if they or them show up, my God's with me. Hello? So did y'all get it? Are you more fully convinced? Amen. I was so blessed yesterday because I met a person that lives in Corpus. And the person said, you know, I just want you not... I listen to you every day on the radio. I said, really? I said, you know how many times I wanted just to cancel the contract to put the radio, you know, on there because they just don't hear anything. Oh, don't do that. So now my wife's listening to you. And I was like, you know, God, there's a lot more going on than we see. Are y'all with me? Listen to me. There's a lot more going on that God wants to do for you than you can see with your eyes. But listen to me. Do not give up. Keep pressing forward. Keep learning the word. Keep growing. Keep getting strong. Be of good courage. Have courage under fire. When something goes wrong, look at your wife. Say, well, we're going to get to see a miracle here. You with me? And then you watch what God does. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Now, we do have dinner on the grounds today, don't we? And I am kind of hungry. And so, look, can I have my prayer team, pastoral team, come down here this morning? And why don't y'all all stand up, look at the person beside you and say, you know, that is a good word. Look at the person beside you. Now, come on, y'all got to do this. You got to look one way or the other. Find somebody that'll look at you and say, be strong and of good courage. Come on, look at the person. Find somebody else to look at and say, be strong and of good courage. Amen. Amen. So, church, listen to me. You know that. After what I've just been preaching, I believe in a God of miracles. And we're up here to pray with you if you need prayer. I know we have dinner on the grounds. I want to invite everybody to stay and fellowship and to make a new friend today and meet somebody and introduce yourself or because we need friends. We need relationships in life. But I don't want anybody to leave here and you needed prayer. And so we're going to be up here up front. We'll pray with you and believe God. I don't care what it is. I don't care how big the mountain is, my God's bigger. Hello? Y'all believe that? No matter how big the mountain is, I don't care if it's an Everest, Mount Everest-sized problem. God's a big God. God's bigger. The Bible says all the worlds are just a speck in the palm of his hand. Did y'all see the deal about the Chinese satellite, outer space, got a shot of this big meteor that's out there floating around, and everybody was so awed about it. And I thought to myself, you know, in looking at the whole universe, that thing's a pretty small speck. And the minute I said that, God said, "That's how I see all your problems." I said, "Yeah, I just got to change my perspective." You know, you look at this thing; it's all those things 2 miles wide. Into the whole universe, it's a speck, a tiny speck. God says, that's the way I see it. Sometimes you just need to pray with somebody and refocus. Amen? So if you need prayer, we're up here. Listen to me, and if you are up here, if you're in here today, or if you're listening by audio or video, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is not the day to be messing around with that. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that if you died today, you're headed to heaven. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life. Now, the Bible's really simple. It says if you'll confess with your mouth and you'll believe in your heart, you'll ask him to come in and be your Savior. He will. It's that simple. No church hoops to jump through. No certain things you've got to do. It's about you having faith in Jesus. So I want to ask y'all, everyone today, and for all of those that y'all are listening by audio, to just bow your heads for a moment. And let's just ask yourself that question. If you're not sure, and you're in here today, and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and I want to pray with you right now. And I want you simply just to put your hands up and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. I want you to pray with me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody just to pray with me. Those that you lifted your hands, those of you that are listening or watching this morning, everybody just pray this and say, Jesus, today I ask you to come into my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I ask you just to be my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And you today making heaven my home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, church, I want to pray over you. I'm going to pray over the food so y'all can go on out and begin to eat. But if you do need prayer, we're here for you. So come on down and we'll pray. So grab that person's hand beside you. Father, I just declare these people are people of confidence. These people are of faith. These people today are going to have courage under fire because they know and are fully convinced today that God, what you promised, you'd perform. So I ask you, Lord, to just put your hand upon us all. That as we leave and go out in the world, we're just like that old sticky foam, Lord. That our faith just gets on everybody. Swells up, grows, and just, Lord, we see miracles all around us. So, Lord, bless them today. And I thank you for them all today. Bless this food and our fellowship today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church.